Hi Alice, how are you? Hi Natangwe. Okay, so well, I was listening to your podcast and probably I should not be responding right now until I listen to the whole thing. But I'm that person that hates missing anything. Yes, there is a thin line between love and obsession. I get that part. But I think one thing that we have forgotten is also infatuation, because there are people that think they are in love with someone. But initially, it's just infatuation. So you get where, oh my gosh, you see someone and then you start talking to them for a few days and then you claim that no, I love them, or you feel that you love them. But initially, it's just that kind of feeling that is similar to love that then later on a later stage will then fade, would fade away. So I need to wrap up because apparently it's only a minute.
Can we make jokes up?
Yeah,
Okay.
you
It's
heard
a conversation.
the podcast. Oh, guys. Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of the AliExpress. Today we're talking about mental health. Okay, so anyways, I'm Alice. I binge anime for a living.
Oh shit. It is I'm Jasmine, like the coolest cousin ever. What do I do? I like stuff.
Cool.
Right, okay. Hi. I'm Nicole. And I read for a living, I'd say.
Wow, so you're like
Deep.
a professional nerd.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm a nerd.
She's funny too. Because
Thank
I do funny things.
Don't be
She's funny. I'm Dake Omani.
And I run very
Yeah, then I run very fast for very long. I'm also in corporate. And yeah, I love life to the fullest. That's what I do for a living. I love like there's no tomorrow. Every single day, relentlessly, unapologetically. That's
Wow.
what I do.
How many kilos
Okay,
did you run this month?
This month so far, I only started running last week, but I ran 40 kilos last week.
So
Wait.
40 kilos in a week.
Yeah. I only started on Wednesday, and
Those are a
by
lot of
yesterday
kilos.
I did 40. Yesterday I did 15. The other day I did 12 and 12, and I trained football 3 times a week. So,
You know, like you guys'
Wow.
intros made mine look like crap.
Like, can we start over?
No, it's okay. This is just a
Okay.
conversation, chill guys. Okay, so
Okay.
anyways, we're talking about mental health. So I just wanted to ask each one of you, like, when did you feel that there was something wrong? Because it's not like physical health. It's not like something your arm breaks and you just,
Or
you
your
know.
ankle
Yeah,
twists.
because the thing. Too soon.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Because the
Yeah.
thing with mental health, some of the things manifest physically, right? Sometimes
Yeah.
you're a bit tired or you're not sleeping well, but you don't really pick it up that it's,
You can break out like acne,
Yeah, and you're
stuff
just like,
biting your
ah, what's
teeth.
happening? You're changing your pillowcases on a gum, So, yes.
That's another coping mechanism.
What
To change your
I
pillowcases.
clean, like I'm that person
That
that
is
if I'm not
so
fine, I'm cleaning.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Come here when you're like sad.
Got some dirty dishes.
Okay, Jasmine. So yes, when did you know that you weren't like fine?
Oh shit, they can't see me, right? Guys,
Yeah.
I'm making like a very, very African mother face. For me, it was when I noticed that I didn't know what to do when I was alone. I needed to be busy. So then when I did all the things that I needed to do that day, whether it was cleaning, whether it was doing some work, whether it was an essay, whether it was a report, doing groceries, basically when I was just alone or done with a movie or binging anime, I started to be like, oh shit, I'm alone with my thoughts again. So the first thing that I noticed I was a little bit toxic, that I really feel like, yo, this is really out of character, I would just take like a sip of wine to just get tipsy so I can just be like just sleep.
Yeah,
Just be like
in the
aware,
vibe.
or just fall asleep so I don't have to think about the shit anymore. And then when I wake up, I'm like, oh shit, I'm sober again. you know, and then it became a habit. I was like, wow, no. So yeah, guys, I was almost an alcoholic.
Yo, we're sure. here for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you, Nicole?
Okay, so when I was 15, I fell into a very deep depression, and it lasted almost 2 years, and it was I was a literal zombie. I think I smiled like 5 times in those 2 years, and I only really realized what was happening when my friend pointed it out, my best friend, and she was like, yo bro, you're killing my vibe. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. She was like, I love you and I care for you, but it's like, at this point, obviously something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, and I will be here for you, but I need you to also do something about it. To either figure out why you're feeling like this, or to figure out how you're going to get out of it. But right now, you're just sort of in that.
So, like, what did your friend see? Was, like, your mood off or...
Okay, so it's my best friend, and she lives right across from me, and we see each other most of the time, almost all the time. Oh, like, I'll say five times in a week. It's a lot less now in uni, like, I'd say once a week now, but, like, at that time. So we would spend a lot of time together, so I'd see her for most of the time. And she noticed, she told me that, basically, like I said, I didn't smile in all of that time, so it was like... She said that she felt like she couldn't share good news. She couldn't share her, she couldn't be like, yo, you wouldn't believe what happened today, and like, tell me a joke. I'd just be like, okay. And I'd just be like, just like very, very curt and very like short answers and very, just not, no laughter.
No joy. Which,
yeah.
I covered mine up though.
You covered.
I was
I decided if I'm suffering, everyone's suffering.
I was like, legit, I was like, hi guys, oh my god. I was at home, I was like, yo.
Yeah, like, I didn't know you were, like, unhappy the one time.
Yeah.
I didn't pick it up, like,
until it was, like, too late.
Yeah.
But But yes.
Sorry, guys, it's raining, but we're just gonna keep rolling.
Yeah. So, wait, Nicole, sorry, I just wanna ask her. So, for you, your first indication was when you realized that other people are also realizing that you're not okay.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
And it was very, I'm just very lucky that it was her. Because she communicated, she sent me like a message. She sent me a message that was so long, it couldn't fit into one WhatsApp.
Read more.
It was like, it was an extremely long message. She made really sure to not hurt me and that I still felt that she was there. So I was really lucky to have that.
Yeah.
But that was the depression thing, and then I only realized that I was diagnosed with OCD and ADHD very late, very late, and I never realized that I never felt especially like that something was wrong, but then afterwards I was like, okay.
Oh,
that makes some sense.
With me, it was also like, there was a time in uni, my friends picked up something. I think it was Lister. I don't know who else. We were like a trio at school. But, I think Lister and Yanyu. But for them, when they came at me, what they picked up was they felt like I wasn't taking care of myself. They felt like I would just be at school and, not that I wasn't bathing or something, but...
They just felt that's the first thing I thought
I was clean, but like I wasn't well making effort. I would show up to my classes and whatever, and they were just like, girl. And I didn't take it well. I was very defensive. Like when they came at me, because number one, I was like, oh, so you guys are discussing me now. Mm-hmm. Why are you guys talking about me? And you know, I didn't see that it came from a point of concern.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very justified to feel that way.
Yeah, so I was just like...
Swag. Oh my God. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you see, you didn't... No, you thought I was just a boomy one.
No. I mean, your t-shirts,
there was shoes. Even this huge hoodie that I would wear with a backpack. And you know, like, girls, it's like first, second year, people are going to school with handbags. Yeah. And, you know, I'm there with a... what was it? It wasn't Uzi. It was Quicksilver, you know those types. Yeah, Quicksilver, Woody, OG. And I'm there at school and I'm just, you know. And they were like, nah, man. And I felt very offended. I was like,
oh, yeah.
In my heart, I was like, fuck you guys. But I didn't get like a diagnosis that time or whatever. But I had seen a therapist because I wasn't sleeping. But I didn't know that was like a sign of something else. So then we had like aromatherapy and other types of therapy for that and what. But the second time around, it was kind of different. I felt like it was high functioning. You know, you get everything that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether I'm working or at school, what needs to be done is done.
Yeah.
I only started to see there was an issue when I wasn't eating because I like eating.
Yep.
So when my appetite left, I was like, oh, okay, something is not right. And then I saw that I was, like my interactions with my friends, mm-hmm. like a small thing would happen, but my reaction would be this big. And I found myself apologizing a lot for how I was acting. Like the next, mm-hmm. I'd be saying, sorry, sorry. So then I was like, but if everywhere there's a problem, then maybe, you know, I'm the problem. Yeah. You remember I left the group and you still didn't add me back.
You said we shouldn't add you.
I was like, guys,
we need to respect Alice's boundaries. The girl doesn't want to be added
on
the group.
It's been months and you still didn't add me back.
Ah, bro, then we add you, then the girl is triggered, then it's just another episode, and then it's like, who added the girl? So, no.
Yeah, one of those people that leaves group chats when you are not nah. Same, bro.
She's that kid that runs away from home and she comes back.
Same.
So, yeah. So how about you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it for me, it wasn't. I wouldn't say it was a specific moment. It was more like, cause I know myself. I'm very in tune with the person that I am, and I'm a very happy person. I enjoy being happy. I enjoy showing. I living a happy life. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I was sad the whole time, and more like very akin to Jasmine in the sense of that I realized that when I'm not busy, then I'm with my thoughts. So what I started doing was like, I became an unconscious being. Like I'm never conscious. Like I'm never in a state of, oh, I'm sitting here.
You were never present.
I was never present. Yeah. I was never present. Like I never wanted to be present because whenever I would be present, I'd be sad and unhappy, and like I just felt like life was a lot. I was overwhelmed. I had triggers, certain stuff happened, so I had triggers. It wasn't like just life. I'm just not happy with life. It was triggers, and I just felt so tired. I just felt really, really tired. I felt like and then I have this thing whereby I used to not love for myself. I used to love for the people I care for, mm-hmm. like my siblings. My mom, especially my mom, and my nephews now I have nephews and nieces. So like I would be doing a lot of stuff for them, but I would never, like I said, I was never present for myself or for stuff that mattered to me. And then like I felt like I had also lost my way. I had forgotten who I was. I was doing stuff for the people that I was living for to make them happy. I was in school. I was fighting with school. I didn't want to be in school. I was doing stuff because my mom, that's what my mom wanted me to be doing. And I was just really unhappy. So, and then I had a breakdown. It's weird actually because I was at school. I was at UNAM. And I was just there. Nothing said that it's about to
happen.
It was just like I went to class. Yeah, I'm there in the dish. I'm there the dish ventures, and I found myself. I found myself walking to class, and as I was walking, I just felt very overwhelmed in one moment. I just felt overwhelmed, and I was there. I didn't even go to class. I just sat down and I broke down, and I was like, you know what? I swear to God. And I got from UNAM. I went from UNAM, I took a cab to Katutura, I got on a bus and I went home to the north that immediately. And when I got home, my mom was like, what's going on? Now, I don't like being vulnerable, so I didn't tell my mom what's going on, but she could tell that
something
is not fine. So then like, my mom is very attentive to me. So I knew that the next day she would wake up, she would come to my room and I want to find out what's happening. Mm-hmm. Nope. I would wake up at 5 a.m. every morning and I would go, I would leave the house and I wouldn't be going anywhere.
Go away.
I would just like walk, like the whole time I would walk and I would come when the people are already asleep. And I would sleep, I would wake up the next day. It happened for 2 weeks. It happened for 2 weeks. And then like I just started asking myself, because there was a lot of stuff, there was a lot of stuff happening that time. I had just broken up with my ex-girlfriend that I loved dearly. School, I was just struggling with school. I just didn't want to be in school. So I was there. Then I asked myself, Ndaki, what do you actually like? Oh, and then there was this thing where people used to call me an alcoholic. That really, really, really upset me because I didn't know how to drink.
Honestly, so, thought it was because you what? Sorry. I think there was time you were working out and you got injured, and then you kind of felt bad that you couldn't.
That was a that was like
also a trigger.
No, that was after. That was afterwards.
Oh.
That was after this first happened. That, do you know that I used to play soccer?
Yeah.
Like, but I was playing soccer just. Not for the fun of it. I was playing soccer at a competitive level, but I wasn't passionate about it as I was when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So then, now during that first episode when I was at home, I asked myself, "What do you actually really, really like?"
Mm-hmm.
I had to relearn myself. I had to relearn myself. I had to learn who I was again. I had to fall in love with myself again. I realized that I really love sports. I really love reading, and I really love learning. Like general knowledge stuff, just shit normal people wouldn't be worried concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see, so I started doing that again. I started playing sports, and I was like, let me put my heart into it. So I put my heart into it, and I was playing. It was, everything was well. Then I started training. Now that's the first, I think that was around 2018, and I started training.
Yeah.
Now yeah,
we had a conversation,
but this reminds me, because there was also a time I was really sad, and then I decided to get to know myself, and I did everything. I went and checked out my birth chart. I was like, what time was I born? Let me see. And then I also took the Myers-Briggs personality test. And then I wanted to see, like, what's my story?
Because basically my whole life was basically trying to make her happy, trying to make this person happy. So it was never about... So that was never about me. So then that's now when I learned. And then I was now into this, I really love sports. I started playing sports again, and I'm training hard, and I realized that I'm training at this at level that normal people are not training at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I realized that when I got injured, then I couldn't train anymore. Then I realized most of the stuff, I just painted over it with the training. I never addressed it. Yeah, it was an outlet. So then now I'm sad again. I can't train again. Oh, and being sad is not now. Like,
nice.
You're there in bed. And now the training is that you don't have to get lost in your thoughts, because you wake up, you train, then you... When you get to bed, you're tired, you just pass out.
I won't lie, exercise is one of those things, because that's also what I did. Because at uni, there was a gym on Res and nobody used it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just work out, you go to your room, sleep. Then tomorrow is the next day, same thing. I would go hiking, then I would go to class and whatever.
So yeah, for me, am I talking a lot?
No, I just wanted to ask, like, was there ever a point that you felt you needed help, that you couldn't deal with it by yourself?
Yes!
And then, did you get help?
I got help, but I didn't get I helped myself, basically, because of the knowledge that I had.
What made you think you were qualified to help yourself?
I was not qualified to help. But, you know, I did psychology in school, like clinical psychology.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, shit, you have a problem.
Mm.
You're clearly not happy. I diagnosed, guys, I'm doing like little air quotes, myself.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, how do I fix this? And then a good family member of mine, that's how we became close.
Sorry guys, my phone wasn't on airplane mode and I don't know who was calling, but it's a private number, it's a Sunday, and yeah. But anyways, I was just asking, like, at what moment did you feel that you needed help or that you couldn't deal with this on your own anymore?
When I would cry myself to sleep.
Really? You would cry yourself to sleep?
Bruh, I was that child, bruh. Like, I would come home, do everything, then just... And then, yeah,
is
it was...
how you cried?
No.
I was like, don't you just start talking, like, at yourself once?
No, like, it was just bad. Because you guys know me. I'm, like, a happy person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, jazz is a vibe. But then I wasn't that person at home. So, and it got to a point where I would cry myself. It was, like, in a row. And I knew there was a problem, but I was just like, yo. So, I... diagnosed myself, apparently, because now I had the psychology background. And then my method was basically, okay, Jazz, you know what you're going through. It's called situational depression, because I didn't, it wasn't me that caused it. It just happened. No, it didn't just happen.
Isn't it happening because of happenings?
Yeah, it's because of happenings. Yeah. It was situational depression. Because, and the one of the things that we need to realize when it comes to depression, you need to be sad for a very long period of time. You get people that go through shit and then they're just sad for like 2 days and they're like, oh, no, I was depressed. No, that wasn't depression. Depression is like
a phase almost, actually. A prolonged phase where you're just constantly, like,
month on month or years upon years, you're just sad, and it's not something that you can switch off. I mean, it's easy for, and I actually hate it when people say, just snap out of it, you know, like, bro, just come with us to the pool, totally have a good time,
or let's go drive.
Yeah, let's go, yo, let's go.
You know, the worst is when you drink and you're not happy, yo, that never ends well, guys.
It's just, it wasn't that. I couldn't snap out of it, I couldn't cheer myself up, so I allowed myself to go through the motion. That was like my method. Just if you wanna cry, just fucking cry. If you wanna go to Pick and Pay, go pick up crackers and pickles and Coke, then that's what we're gonna do, and we're gonna stuff our face and watch Disney and cry. So that was me until it was like going on for way too long. And just as Nicole said, other people noticed and they were like, yo, what when is it that you don't feel as bad? I was like, no, when I'm around company, like good company. So that was like our mission. Let's just go out. It's just, I kind of want to name drop, actually. Can I name drop?
As long as it's not in a negative way.
It's actually in a good way.
Oh, okay.
So, y'all know this means, it's my godbrother, Thaddeus. I mean, we became close. People think we became close just because, like, out of the blue. But he actually helped me through it. Because, like, look, I've noticed this is what's happening. What is it? What can I do? And I was like, I actually feel better when I'm around company. That's why I would always go out, like, food. He would, like, say, hey, I'm going, where, come along. I'm not taking no for an answer until I actually just build up my confidence again, my self-esteem, and then I was okay. I was myself again, because I've totally forgot about the situation. Yo. And that's how I call it situational depression.
Oh.
And it's actually a thing. I googled it.
Oh. I think this year I was like, I need help because I don't know. I just felt like maybe too much had happened and I was living alone.
Yeah. 2020 was not your year, fam.
What happened?
You what almost happened died to me? On two occasions.
Okay, I'm very sickly. So anything sickly is the new sick.
Sorry.
Is it? Thank you. So, like, I've always been a sick child. If there's something, I'm going to catch it. So when swine flu was around in like 2010, 2011, Alice caught swine flu. When the German measles broke out, Alice caught them. So when COVID came, I knew that I was just like, it's just a matter of time. Caught COVID. Okay, cool. Guys, I caught COVID at home. Okay, not my home, but still.
Yeah.
So then after COVID, I had an appendectomy. Mm. But I was at home the whole week in pain because I thought it was my
period.
My period, because my period is also very bad. So I didn't know. And then I go to the hospital and then the doctor's like, you are so lucky you came today. And then I had surgery the same day.
Seriously? Yeah. Like, they 6 hours late, you'll be.
Yeah. Late. She was like, let me even just hug you because your mom is far and I'm so happy you came today. Because I was just at home. Like, I have a high pain tolerance. So I was just at home in pain and then I was like, oh,
you
no.
Do.
Yeah. Wow. The shade. But yes, I have a high pain tolerance. So yes. So that happened. I was in ICU for a bit.
ICU.
Yeah, I was in ICU for like a day, made it to the, you know, whatever. And then I got home and I was just like, you know, I think it's weird. It creeps you out leaving the house and not coming back home.
Mm-hmm.
Like the next thing you're in the hospital, like you almost, so I think that like affected me. So then I was like, okay, I need help. So then I spoke to my mom about it. But then it's very difficult to like explain to your mother sometimes what's wrong. So what I used to tell her, or usually I'd wake up and be like, I don't feel nice on the inside. And she'll be like, what do you mean? Like, she's like, what do you mean? So, but then I explained to her, she was like, okay, if you want to get help, I'm willing to pay. Like, money isn't a factor, which is also another reason.
Nice.
Yeah, which is also another reason I was down bad because I was working. and now I'm not working anymore and I'm job hunting, and I just feel like a burden also sometimes because like I'm still now dependent on her. So I didn't like, I'm always like, I'm afraid to say I'm sick, but I'm sickly, like I'm always sick. So, and then there's also the hospital bill now, you know, from the surgery. So then I was, then she was like, no girl, like don't worry about money, get help if you have to. Do you want to go private or state? Then I said I want to go state because I want to see our healthcare system. So it's kind of like a long process. So first of all, what you do is you go to a government clinic and then they say that you have something wrong or whatever. Then you go see doctors and then they take you for like a psych evaluation. So you're evaluated by nurses, a few doctors, and then like two doctors diagnosed me with the same thing. They said that I have adjustment disorder, which is basically like a stress disorder. And then they
put
me, yeah, so like I'm on treatment for that now, which is like therapy and also meds.
Let me just Google that shit.
You want to Google that shit?
Yep.
So yeah, so I was like at a point where I was like, a lot has happened and I'm not coping by myself. And
hence adjustment disorder now.
Yeah. They suggest that it has also has to do with like moving a lot. Because what happened was I moved from here to Brighton. Then a year later, moved to London. And it's totally different from London. Then I came back. And then also me just being sick. I don't know. Yeah. They said it's like big life events that, you know,
yeah,
trigger, you know.
To be honest, they all happened like
short period. Yeah. And like I couldn't understand because I saw the psychiatrist the other day. Because you see a psychologist and a psychiatrist. And I was wondering why the psychiatrist was like trying to get a timeline of like my sicknesses. And like a few weeks ago, I was also diagnosed with a new thing, not mental. And he was just like, how does this make you feel? Like I was wondering why, what was happening. And then I realized, because I like did research on it, I was like, oh, okay, so this is, it's weird how the physical stuff can affect the mental, but then the mental stuff can also manifest
physically.
Yeah, physically. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Damn.
Okay,
wait. Can I ask Daki a question?
Yeah.
Daki, did you get help, like professional help?
Yeah, but no, honestly, guys, it's actually bad, and it's not something that I should actually, because I have access to medical
aid,
and yeah, but it's almost like in our household, okay, not in my household, but the environment that I grew up in. In our household, my parents encouraged expression a lot, but like Alice mentioned, like in my culture, it's almost to be a burden. It's not nice. So. Sometimes out of fear to be a burden, you don't express yourself as fully as you are. So like for me to get professional help, I was forced to get professional help from work.
They forced
me to get help because I'm a very moody person. Oh my god. I'm a very moody person, and if I'm happy, you'll be able to tell that I'm happy. If I'm not happy, you'll be able to tell.
Yeah, like
I'm
my
not...
face is also the same.
Yeah.
Like...
I can't
pretend.
You know, even if we go out to thrive and I'm not in a good space, you will see mid groove, drunk as hell, you will find me there. No. Yeah, so
there's a picture Paula took of me the other day. Did you see? Where I'm sitting like this, and the table is full of alcohol. There's like a cocktail, four Savannahs next to me, and I'm just like,
you put it in part of the collage.
Palm on my face, and I'm just like,
yeah. So I was supposed to get help by work, but I'm not very, I don't know, man. Like as a man, as a black man, it's not easy.
Yeah,
it's not easy for me to. It's almost like I'm doing it because I have to do it, but I'm not open to receiving it. So like, and for me, it's like I have stuff that work for me.
Can I please say something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you can find what helped me a lot is that the people, when you get professional help, their job is to keep everything a secret.
Yeah.
And it's like they even if they do judge you, they will never say that.
Yeah.
And even if they do speak to their husband about it, even if they say
whoever was here,
they won't recognize you in the street. Even if they show you their your file with an ID picture, chances are like they, I think 1% of them dengue, of them, like, you know.
Yeah.
So what helped for me a lot was that those people, like, it stays there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like they like I said, even if they judge you, they won't show it.
Yeah.
But
and
how
you don't have to deal with it. It's like you can go be vulnerable and dip, you go back
home.
Yeah.
Because
the
thing is, for me, the problem is not being vulnerable. I don't mind being vulnerable. I used to have a problem with it, but you take it or leave it. It's who I am.
Mm.
But like with that, it's not that I'm kind of scared to be judged, because I really don't care much for what. It's not that I'm scared to be. It's just the nature that you are brought up in. Almost, it's weird for me.
Yeah.
It's weird for me to be telling my that my mom is not well to a stranger.
Oh. But how did you end up getting help then? Like, is it the same your culture or like...
No, I'm very lucky. I have the best parents in the whole fucking world. So I'm very lucky. But quickly finish up.
So it was basically that. And then, like, I went... They would ask me what's wrong at work. And I'm just like, guys, I'm here to... Let me just do my job. The problem is, if I don't do my job, then you guys can ask me those questions.
Yeah, but you were doing... You were actually high-functioning.
My functioning, because when I'm at work, it takes me also off my thoughts.
Yeah.
So, but you can... Okay, by me, you can tell by my demeanor, by... Like, you come to me, you're talking about your dog. I'm like, dog, don't give a fuck about your dog. What are you talking about? Let's just do the job. And they could pick it up.
Yeah,
and also, so they could pick it up, and they were like, nah, this guy. I think they thought maybe I would be one of those American kids that one day I'll just come to work.
Sure,
so
shoot up.
Everybody. So I was always quiet. I come to work, I put in my earphones until 4:30, and I dip out. So they were like, let's have a work break. Nope, I don't want. Yeah, nope. So
I
then
also
they,
don't like those things.
So man. So then my boss was very like, Salomi Losi. So then they took me to HR. Then we first had the in-house wellness person.
Yeah.
And then they like got me somebody. And like, well, they were talking, and I'm just...
I like
your
boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a, that it's
no, my boss is... I'm very blessed with the boss I have. Like, she's very hard on me.
I was just about to ask if she's a lady.
No, she's a lady, but she's like... She coddles me, but she whips the whip when she needs to work.
Shout out to
Darkest
Employer.
Yeah, shout out.
You need sound effects.
So, yeah.
The sound effects of this app are dumb.
Oh, wait, okay, so I told you about the grade 9 to 10 thing. When my friend texted me and saying all of that, I immediately did everything in my power to get out of it. And when I got out of it, I was out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not someone who's generally, I don't have it, like, I don't suffer from depression. I had that one, like, period.
Mm-hmm.
But in first year of university, which was 2018, one day I had to write a test. And tests don't scare me. I'm really smart. And I say that in the humblest way possible.
Damn!
I said, girl! So I don't really have academic stress. Like I'm chilled. And then that day, I go to class and I went to class and we sit down and I pack out my stuff and my OCD was triggered that day. So I packed my stuff out and we were about to start and the teacher comes and she like picks up my pencil case and she's like, this gotta go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. Like I understand it completely because a lot of times people cheat, bro.
Yeah.
People find ways. So it's like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, cool. And then, I put it away and I put my pens back and I sat and she already said that we could start.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sat and I was trying to like get myself to start the test. And then when I looked at my watch, I realized that like half an hour was already passed.
What?
And I'm still trying to get myself to just like get over that feeling of my stuff has been
touched.
My stuff has been, you know. And I was like, okay, fuck. Okay, so I'm sitting and it's like half an hour passed and then an hour passed. And I was still sitting and I was like, then I couldn't handle it anymore. And I was overwhelmed, like incredibly overwhelmed. So I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am, I need to go to the bathroom. She was like, okay, cool. And then I went and then I also had a little breakdown in the bathroom. And I was literally crying in the bathroom for, I think about, like until for about an hour, I think. And then the cleaning lady, who, shout out to her, by the way, she cleaned in the medical laboratory science building. She's a gem. But she heard me crying and she was like, oh, hello, wagwan. And I just couldn't speak, and she hugged me and she was, aww. Jesus, can you listen to my voice? Anyway, and she hugged me, and then I went out, and she just stayed with me. She was like, okay, what do you need? Which is the exact thing that you need to say to someone having an anxiety attack or going through that.
What do you need?
What do you need from me?
Just speak to me. Ik is rustig. I'm not like, just speak to me. And she was like, okay, what do you need? Can I get you some water? Mm-hmm. Do you where do you need to be? Is there a class so that I can just go tell the teacher that you're not, you know, whatever? And I was like, thank fuck for you.
Yeah.
And so I spoke to her and I was like, okay, no, I'm good. Let me just wash my face. And then I went inside and I just wrote my name on the paper and I was like, I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't do this. So I just gave her the paper, but I couldn't explain it at that moment. But I was still crying. I just couldn't stop crying. And everyone was looking and it was just fucking nuts.
Yo.
And so then I went out and I called my mom and I was like, Jesus, I want to cry.
I have tissues.
No, I cannot. I have winged eyeliner on.
I know.
I have to focus.
You look so pretty.
Obviously, I am beautiful, Alice. What do you mean? I'm kidding. I'm not.
She really does, though.
So I have this one song that calms me down. It's Fear Release by Mozart, and I have this one
that is a beautiful
which
song.
One is that?
It's a classic. You
I
know it.
I know the tunes, but I don't know the names.
You might not know the. Yeah, you recognize the song.
That's one.
It. That's it. You know what? I have it like downloaded here, the long version. So in case of emergency, if I don't have data, I can just play it.
Guys, I know my songs. I know my classical songs.
But anyways. So I listened to that song and I listened to that, like I kept on listening to it. I called my mom and was like, hello, Alice is not a bit here, come and get me, please. And so she came and my mom's also, ah, bless her, poor soul. She's not what's going on? She's like, what's happening? Come and, like, she can tell, she doesn't know what to happen, how to handle it. So she took me to the hospital immediately. I got there, the doctors, the doctor that I saw was just also really lovely. And she was like, okay, no, she kept me really calm and she explained to me what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, so that was only my second ever anxiety attack. My first one I got in grade 7, I was writing Conquest and I was the only one that it was this thing where like all again, like the, like they would.
It was the pressure maybe.
The pressure maybe no, this is how I normally am. This is just
it sounds familiar. It sounds like something we had in my school. Was it like a
conquest?
Yeah,
it's like this, I think they give the top something percentage write the test and it's like a I don't know if it's to test you or if it's what, and you get a percentage like certificate thing,
and you have to be fast or something
it's like it's time and it's like a shit ton of questions and like it's time dangasus, but I did that and I was like the only one in the class doing it and all of the people were just going nuts and I just couldn't focus. There were too many sounds and it's like I was experiencing what's called sensory overload.
Yeah,
I was just like, what the fuck is happening? So then I like sort of broke down, but that was a one-time thing and then I sort of moved on from it and then I had that one in uni.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, then I went to the doctor and she explained to me everything that was happening, and after I gave her sort of like a brief history, she was like, sweetie, you need to speak to someone. like I'm going to send you to someone that needs to address this specifically, but I have been going to anyway. So then I started to go to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm literally, this is literally just how I normally am. Yeah. Like, so, you know, if it's stressy, alles is onder beheer. And then, what was I saying? Yeah, then I started going to a doctor who could prescribe meds for my anxiety specifically.
Okay.
So I've been going to therapy like for a very long time, but I've never had that, because I never expressed those things. I never thought that it was weird how I thought and how my brain worked and like how I function, because I'm high functioning.
Exactly.
I'm completely fine. My ADHD, I didn't even notice because I don't need to sit very, I don't need to take that long. I'm very quick with learning. So it's just like, I just do what I need to do. And I'm also like, ever since I was like young, I've also just been very like I tailor my life to like what I need. So I was never like, oh shit, I cannot study for hours and hours. I just then just didn't. I just studied differently.
Bro, look,
and
I,
just did
I
what
was
I had
same.
To do.
Do you know that sometimes I'd wake up and go write the exams, and then like my aunt would be telling my mom, I'm actually very disappointed because she doesn't study. She just goes and writes, and that means she could be performing so much better. But for me, they sitting in like 4 hours, like it didn't make sense. And then I saw how different I was when I was in the hostel, because then you have other roommates, and then you see other people's habits, and then you're like, okay, it looks like I'm the odd one here, because people wake up, hala swat, and then they're there, or they wake up early in the morning to go study, lights are on, and you're just like, I'm not doing all of this.
For me it's the same, and it's like for me I always work so that I'm like at least 3 weeks ahead of like a schedule. So it's like, because I my anxiety is like this: if I don't know 100% of my work, I'm not gonna be able to write that test. Like if I left one chapter, I'm gonna be there. I won't be able to. So I need to like be. I need to prepare like way ahead so that I like to prevent that. And it's
what was so basically point? you would adapt to how you feel,
yeah I just
to
adapted
how you work. Yeah and you
yeah.
didn't think any
like me,
it
I was
wasn't
chilling
like,
bro I
quote,
just
unquote,
did
normal.
I was like, okay, so this isn't working. And you know what my sleep is like, I never thought to go to the doctor and be like, hi sir, I have a problem. I ever since at least I think grade 7, ever since I was 13, I'd sleep an average of 3 hours a night if I sleep. And it's like I would sunrise like twice a week, and sleep, like I said, an average of 3 hours a day. I wouldn't nap during the day.
But during the day, you function like a normal human being.
Function like a normal.
Do you know
human. I kept my 80-90 average. I played dead ball. I did athletics. I did like I was every day. I was busy with activities from like seven, like from six shanies until like late. And then I'd go home and I'd still go and read and I'd still
go and be chilling. You wouldn't be.
I was chilling.
Let me tell you guys. I didn't know there was something wrong with the way I slept. Until like I caught anemia, and then you're tired, and then you're sleeping quote unquote properly. But like sometimes you have therapy, and then you learn that these are like, I wouldn't say like coping mechanisms to suit the problem, but the way you function isn't exactly like the way you're supposed to function.
But it's
high functioning. It's like being a
you
high functioning
to let
alcoholic.
Go what the people say, what it should be like.
Yeah, because
you cannot...
I never, because people would call me a vampire. They're like, why are you always awake? Like, they'll text me at 4 a.m., I shoot the text back, and they're like, bro, I just woke up to use the bathroom. They'll be like, bro, I just woke up to use the bathroom. Have you been awake the whole time? I'm like,
For me, this is really weird. because I sleep on average, if I had to estimate on average, I sleep, okay, every night I sleep maybe 6 hours.
Yeah.
And then when I come from work, I will fit in a two-hour nap.
Yep.
Yeah. So that on average, I sleep 8 hours a day, but guys, it doesn't feel close to enough. And I know it's almost my body. I can almost read my body. Like after 3 to 4 weeks, there are 2 to 3 days where I need to sleep like 12-13 hours every day to recover, to basically become a reboot. I have to sleep where I'm lethargic, where I'm tired. I will sleep for 13 hours, but during the day, I'm still just tired. I take leave.
Yeah.
There are days I take leave from work.
Just to sleep.
Yeah, because also weekends, we don't are supposed to rest. But
we do rest.
So I take days off. Yeah, I take days off. So,
like,
so I'm not a high functioning person. I've just realized, no, I can't.
Do you know what I do now?
Yeah.
It's allergy season. So I got Nata to get me Texa allergy.
Yeah.
And when I can't sleep because I feel like I should be sleepy, I take that. Then I also take the Tylenol because it has a little bit of codeine.
Mm-hmm.
Then I sleep. Otherwise, I would not be sleeping.
So like last weekend, because I'm also not, I haven't been okay recently. So when I'm not okay, I struggle to sleep. I can't sleep. And you see, and I'm somebody that work. My lifestyle is based off proper sleep.
Yeah.
So now I can't sleep, so I don't function properly. So last weekend, I sunrise basically, or I slept like for 30 minutes. Yeah? Then I went out, I went to work, then from work, I went to go chill. And then like during the thrive, I can feel my body shutting down, but the thrive is tasty. So I'm like there within, but yo, I can feel my body, my human functionalities are just shutting down. I know that I don't even want to eat. And when I go sleep, I'm tired, but I don't sleep. like this. Mm-hmm. They're still like, oh, bruh. Like, yeah. But like, then, like, and then I fall asleep. And then when I fall asleep, I wake up. Now, I'm not physically tired. I might not be physically tired anymore, but my soul is just tired. I'm annoyed by people. I'm annoyed by life. And I have this thing. No, honestly. And I have this thing where I just like, I wish, it's not a suicidal thing or anything, but I wish life could have like a pause button. Then I just dip out for a bit and just like be somewhere and then come back and then we go again. Just
you know that they ask you that every time you go to the hospital? So like every time I go for like follow-ups, especially with the psychiatrists, do you have any suicidal thoughts? And I'm usually like, no. And then I think 3 weeks ago, I was like, I don't think so, but I wouldn't mind never having been born or not being alive. and then he looks at me and he's like, what do you mean? Then I'm like, I want a holiday from life.
I just, you know, it would be nice to not exist. Yeah, for me, not permanently. No, the time I wanted it to be permanently, but right now it's not permanently. Life is too tasty.
No, so me, even now if they were like...
My pause button, I would be... I wish I could get leave from life. Like, I just pause.
Induce coma, guys. The answer's right there.
Wait, we can do that?
Induce a coma. Yeah, what about nutrition while you're in the coma? Just, what happens to your body?
No, the doctors... No, they have people for that.
Let the woman finish.
You
find
someone who doesn't have money, you bribe them, you're like, sorry, sir. There's always someone.
Yeah,
yo, so but, like, but no, sometimes...
Sorry, Alice. Because I do that thing whereby I shut out, like, my phone... My phone is just a device that is there. I do not use it. I do not log in. I put it in airplane mode. Now my mom and I are very close. My mom calls me a lot.
Oh my gosh, I do the same thing.
So now when she tries to call me and she can't reach me, then she calls me. Then it becomes a whole...
And you're annoyed because you want that break.
I want the break, but then it's everybody's just trying to reach you. And they're like, are you okay?
That happened like a few weeks ago. I think I was off WhatsApp for a few days, but my mom wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And then it was like, but look, Alice, you're kind of alone. Like, your mom's in another country. She's worried. But you just want...
Just leave me alone for a bit.
You know, you don't want to announce because it looks like your attention.
Looking for attention.
I announced to my mom and I was like, yo, I'm going
to
be like...
No, even when I tell my mom that, she still like tries to...
And like, then, oh, but you guys are blessed. Me, my mother is very needy, guys. She's very... She likes attention, bruh. So she calls me a lot. So when she doesn't have access to me, she knows because I'm very... I give my mother attention a lot. So when I don't give her attention, she won't think that, no, my boy just needs a break. She'll be like, what's wrong with my... Like that.
No,
so
I let them know.
Sometimes I just leave me alone for a bit. Just
relax.
Or relax. Even at work, I tell them, guys, I understand. Just relax. For a bit. Let me just do my me for a bit. So it's a lot. And it's weird because, like, I'm a very caring person. So I'm always trying to be there for people. And I don't need them to be there for me.
You. You're very independent.
I just want them to leave me alone.
Apparently, when you're not okay, you do the reverse of your love language that you like. If you like quality time, then when you're not okay, you isolate or distance yourself.
Yeah, I like isolating.
Do you like quality time with people that you love?
Yeah, I love. I'm a very affectionate and a very... Like, yo, guys, yo, I'm very like that.
Would you say that's like self-harm in some twisted way?
Self-sabotage.
To then keep yourself away from people.
Yeah, I guess it is, but it's normal.
Yeah, because for me, it's just like, I don't want to be around you when I'm not who I am to you.
Yeah, that's also one, that's my main thing. Yeah. Like, I used to have a partner that, the person just didn't understand me, man. Yeah. Like, I'd be like, look, I feel like, I'm not myself right now and I want to be my best self.
Yeah.
And I think that was also why we weren't compatible because they wanted me to be okay all the time.
Yeah.
And this is why I really love Nathan, my best friend, because he's like, he's never, let's fix it. He's like, you're not okay now and that's okay. It's okay that you're not okay. But this partner of mine was, let's fix it. How do we fix it? Until I came to a point where I was like, okay, I can't be not okay around you. So I'd rather not be around you at all. Yeah. So maybe if you feel like you can't be that, you know, okay, yeah, let's finish the sentence.
Guys, I just wanted them to say that because I knew the whole time. Okay, from what I'm getting from this whole thing is, so basically mine was situational. It was caused by my external environment. Yours seemed sort of internal and sort of also external.
The problem is, okay, the reason why I actually wanted to talk about mental health again is when I said like a few weeks ago, I think last month, I had a new disease again. This is also why I don't like going to the doctor. Every time I go, then I come back, then it's, oh, this is what's wrong. So anyway, so basically, I was most now diagnosed with like endometriosis, which explains the painful periods, why I was just okay with it, but then it was my appendix, blah, blah, blah. So then, the problem with that is that, you know me, I love babies. Yes, and it affects your fertility and all of that. So yeah. So I was like, okay, if
you're
this,
overthinking.
Yeah, this stress disorder, because usually they say that symptoms don't last up to 6 months after the trigger. So then I've been thinking, okay, now there's a new problem again in the mix. Does that mean that I have then another mental thing? And sometimes you don't think about it like as a disease until you go to the hospital, like, because I go for like many follow-ups, and like the one time the psychiatrist was like, so do you feel like you have a disease? And I was like, damn, that means I actually do have a disease or a disorder or whatever, you know. Like, I didn't think it was that deep. So yeah, so that's like the main reason I just want to talk about it, you know, now. Just but yeah, as I was saying, it feels like, you know, when you try to get better, but then other stuff put you down, or they like keeping you down, and you don't know like how to like manage it anymore. Why do you look like that? You have this look on your face.
I saw Ndake's face.
No, I saw the beer. There's the beer. I'm just wondering,
you
like,
want
wait,
beer?
Where can we get beer? Because it's a Sunday and we don't have beer. Sorry,
they don't sell alcohol on Sundays.
You
want
beer?
Yeah, like a big one.
We have a stash. And like, do you want a beer after the session?
Yeah, after the session. No, not during the session. It's just like,
it's okay. I don't mind us drinking. We were drinking wine when we recorded the last episode. But yeah, anyway, so now I've been thinking, okay, if this is now not the adjustment disorder, because now I'm adjusting again to also now having
something
endometriosis.
Else.
Yeah. Because now you're like, you don't know now whether you'll be able to have kids. Like, it's a lot.
So now I have to adjust to that.
And,
the possibility.
And such a thing is something that it hits you like very, like, it will hit you now and then it will hit you again like in a few days. And then you think about, oh shit, but like, this could possibly be like a thing. This could possibly be a thing. And then it, like, it's very, like, layered almost.
No, sorry.
I didn't actually want to say something. Okay, so like for me, like I'm somebody that's very in tune with myself. I know myself.
Same.
I have learned myself. I know what makes me happy, what doesn't make me happy, and you know, like for me personally, I know a lot of people will be like, that can't be, but I'm somebody that I'm a lover of love. I really love loving.
Love, yeah.
Yeah, I really love the idea of love.
Do you wanna ask about my love?
No. I'm not gonna ask you anything.
But you can.
Okay, but I will ask at the end. Okay. So for me, it's just like a question that has been coming up lately for myself that I ask myself is whether I'm actually dateable. Because
one of the things that I think comes with feeling or knowing something is wrong with you is that sometimes I don't want to say you feel unworthy, but you kind of feel like, okay, I'm not exactly normal. Will somebody else be able to deal with it?
To understand. Because I've realized I'm a very, very, very extremely difficult person to understand. Oh my God.
You're so nice though.
So I want to ask.
But you are worthy of love. Yes.
Actually, I want to ask the three of you guys. Because since you guys all have people, how does your partner influence or affect your mental health? Are they understanding? Do you guys speak openly about it? How is it? Like for me, I want to understand. Like, you know, as partners,
ooh,
we're
also ready for this question.
Yeah,
we're
so ready.
We're always facing challenges. Do we face it head on? Do you wait for your partner to notice? Do you say, I'm not okay? And when you say I'm not okay, do you say, no, baby, I'm feeling like this?
Yeah.
And like for me, I would be like, just leave me alone for a bit. Okay, but people are different.
Yeah.
So how do you guys work around it as a partner without them feeling like they are, because men naturally, when their woman are not okay, that's what I want to understand. They want to fix stuff.
They want
their woman to be okay.
There was one who would give me money. I like that idea.
You?
Like, every time I was like, I'm sad right now. Notification, money.
So how do you address it directly, or do you just withdraw a bit, or what? How do you deal with it, and how do you guys allow it to be sustained, to allow you guys to work through and around it for it to become sustainable to go forward? How do you guys do it?
Okay, so for me, I'm a whore for communication. Like, how I speak about stuff. I don't hold stuff in. And if I'm sad, I'll be like, yo, I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm
sad,
I'll be like, I'm upset.
Yeah.
I also don't pretend, I also don't. And my partner shall not be mentioned in case we break up.
I'm kidding.
You guys are getting married.
I also have to say so Abba is also very, I'm very lucky that he, as a colored man, he's a very good communicator. Like, it really isn't common. And he's someone that, first of all, he understands mental health, like the importance of it.
Yeah.
He's someone that's very easy, like he's someone that I just can talk to. And it's like he's also an extremely soft and patient and
is it a hard
head?
And
it's like he's very he knows how to handle it also. And it's like if it's very unfair. I read something once that said the world is not responsible for your triggers. And it's very true, unfortunately. Like it sucks. But like no one knows your shit, and it's like people don't know anyways, like a lot of people won't know what really like ticks you or you know, that kind of thing. So I it's very important that I communicate like with him like very clearly about like what is happening. So like, for example, I remember the first time, there was one day that I was feeling very anxious, and I was experiencing like a lot of like, I was feeling like those sensory overload.
Yeah.
And like I got into the car and Abba Lester Gaza clip hard. And it's like,
Abba de la
it's fine because like I love Gaza. I love Abba enjoying Gaza.
Yeah.
But it's like in that moment he's enjoying and you don't need to Abba money. He's just doing the most in the car. And I was feeling extremely overwhelmed, and I was like, in my head, I'm like, can this fucker not see that I'm not, that this is not what I need right now. But I wouldn't, because I just greeted him and I was chilling and we were talking like normal. Like he wouldn't.
So that's why communication actually.
That's why communication is important. I was like, I'd realized that I was getting annoyed, and I'd realized that I'd like start to get like, I would feel that I could possibly like get annoyed at Abba. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like you could not possibly annoy me. And I was like, okay, no, it's not, because it's not him. And then I spoke to him and I was like, okay, yo, listen, I'm sorry. I would visibly be like upset, and it's like I would be irritated almost at like, because I'm experiencing that, and like that is just now also a lot happening, and it would like be overwhelming. And I'd be like, okay, listen, I'm sorry. I realize that I have been doing this and this and this. What's been happening is this. It's called sensory overload. What this means is when, you know, wada wada wada. And then I'd explain it to him, and he'd be like, okay, cool. And then he tanzet al wel weer rustig. And then he'd be like, okay, do you need a hug? And I'd be like, oh, okay. And then he gives me a hug. And if I don't want a hug, I never don't want a hug. But like, in case I don't, then he'd probably just leave. And then I spoke about it once, and then the next time it happened, I'd just be like, yo, babe, this is happening again. And he'd be like, okay, no, cool. I said that he missed it off. He's all here rustig. And then he, I guess, out of love or out of to just prevent something, he then just like, he's chill. And then it's cool. But like, communication is very, very important.
That's what I'm getting, open and honest communication.
And you know that, like, we haven't fought yet. I'm not going to say yet, but we've never fought. And we've been together for more than a year now. Like, seriously, actively, we speak every day. We see each other most of the time. We've never fought before. And it's not because things have been swept under the rug. I don't have a rug.
It's because
I speak, and he also speaks. So it's like, when something comes up, and it's like, you need to speak about, like, you need to be able to speak about like anything. Even like, you need to be able to say like, okay, yo, I'm feeling jealous. It's not because I don't trust you, or because I don't wada wada, but I'm feeling a little jealous about this. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then doesn't it rest? Because you're allowed to feel that.
And because you know your partner, you know that she's not saying that she's feeling jealous from a point of just starting something petty. She's insecure. It's just she's feeling it. Respect what she's feeling, and respect that. So do not do something that triggers you. And I feel like that's normal. I feel like a lot in on a lot of the relationships we experience. Guys, almost with me being jealous or not. Jealous is actually a very ugly word.
I actually had to use that the other day. Yeah. I was like, because I was asked, what is the problem with this? And I was like, it actually makes me jealous.
Yeah.
Why? And it feels weird. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're like, so even saying, but
because. It's easy. Because yeah. It's just like, nah, please tell me the stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you tell your partner that you feel jealous, and your partner, it's important, your partner's response is important to what you are telling them. Mm-hmm. If your partner is like, jealous, if you look at jealous in the ugly sense and you're oh, she's jealous, then it looks bad on you, and you will even feel bad the next time that you are in a position where you are jealous or uncomfortable. Yeah. You won't address it because you will just be like, oh, she's very jealous. And that's where you start containing and things, and that doesn't bode well.
And like on that specifically also, like when, what was I about to say?
What was the question again?
This is about jealousy. Oh yeah. It's very important that, like, you're. It's very normal for someone to feel jealous because it's like, I know how great he is, for example.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, no, this or whatever, and I'm like, full and picky.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling a little jealous, but then it's also, it's very important to. What the fuck? My brain is like a sea.
But wait, right, what was the
question? Is like how
do our partners deal with
them?
How do you guys address it? Do you guys address it directly? Do you guys sweep it under the bus? Or like how does it work? Because for me, I realize that it's one of the I've realized that partners, people not being okay. It's one of the detrimental on our partners. And the thing is, one thing I've realized that us being inherently selfish beings, we make it about ourselves.
Yep.
Nicole is upset, she doesn't want to speak to me. She make it about me, but it's not that
you don't know she's going through
what she's going through. But it's communication, guys.
You have to be brutally honest. You have to be like,
but let me say something. This is also how you get to see whether you're compatible or not. Obviously, I'm not speaking ill of anyone. Like sometimes you're just not compatible. Before I actually even got my diagnosis and whatever, I was most now obviously highly stressed and whatever. And the person that I was like seeing at the time, number one, I would communicate boundaries, but they wouldn't
respect the
they
boundaries.
Would not like, guys, don't touch my belly button, don't whatever. And the person, and for me, like,
I just have this thing about my wrist. Yeah,
like, and the thing is, there was a day, I don't know if I called you or was it Trisha, I don't know.
I think you called me where you accidentally punched him or something.
Yes, because I'm in the middle of a... Like, I tell you, don't tickle me, don't touch this, because in my mind, I have to protect myself. You get it? Like, my reflex, whatever. Yeah. So, that day, I was getting a migraine attack. Now, before you get the migraine attack, sensory, whatever, you want to sit in the dark, you're not okay, and whatever. Yeah. This person, number one, doesn't check my boundaries, doesn't what? I'm there in the beginning of the migraine attack. I think they tried to tickle me. So, now, I don't know if I... Like, you know, without thinking, I was like... You know, I hurt him physically. And I was like, I don't ever want it to get to that point. Well, but please also respect. So that's when you begin to see that. Boundaries. Yeah, so this is when you begin to see that, okay, this person, me and this person are not compatible. They don't mean ill. I also don't mean ill, but it's not going to work because they're not going to understand. Especially.
That's what I was about to say, like, your partner is very important. Like, some people are just... Like, if
and he would make things about
him. He would understand things also better. Yeah. If you're an empath, he would understand things better.
And so the thing is, he wouldn't understand, and he would always make it about him. He would think it was about him. Like, as I said, I've always had really, really bad period, whatever. So the whole week, I'm in pain. So sometimes, except I'm just sitting there, and I'm not smiling, and I'm whatever. Did I do something wrong? Is it me? And I'm always saying, no, I told you what's wrong. I'm in pain right now. It's not
that's
about
not
you.
Good enough.
And the person would be like, no, but how can I feel? So your person is very important, like Ndake said. Because Ndake was like, how do you then communicate to your person? And I don't want to... He's... I don't know. Is he my person? Okay, my... So the person that I am currently
involved with,
yes,
romantically,
that I'm involved with, we come a long way like from like 2013. And this person,
when are you guys getting married?
And this person, he never believed in mental health. And he has actually triggered me. Like, there was a day we weren't cool, and it was like the first pop-up, And I showed up with my friends, and he showed up. Like, we have mutual friends sometimes. So then he comes, and then he's like, I didn't want to come here. And I was like, why not? Because you'd be here. Like,
oh,
guys,
shit.
I ended up in the hospital on a trip that day. Like,
because of someone's son.
Like, you know, like, he triggered. At that time, he was really, like, the most insensitive person in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes people don't want to be open to certain things because then they would have to be open to what's happening inside them. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, and they just don't know the importance of it. Like, mm-hmm. Shame. Some people just don't get told that.
Yeah. So that's how it was. So he was never a person. Like, there was a time I was dealing with, like, my grandfather passed away. Mm-hmm. And then my grandmother was very sick. So I was, like, not feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yo, maybe if I say this, people will hate him.
No.
But he was very insensitive. And he said...
Oh, sorry.
And so the one day I wasn't feeling well, and then he said, I'm tired of hearing your problems. And I swear to God, till today, you see how that affects you talking to your partner. Mm. Till today, if something is wrong, I always, at the back of my mind, because he'll always be like, no, Alice, you can lean on me. And I'm just like, So it kind of damaged. Like, there are certain things you will never forget. Because then there was a day he was like, so when will you get over whatever and forget? And I was like, I will get over it, but I will never forget. You know? And that sounds very deep. But anyways, as I was saying, how does it work now in a positive way? Sorry that now this was very negative, but this is, you know, definitely, it's life. Sometimes you can see that this person and you don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
With Nicole, she says communication is very important and whatnot. So with this person, we know each other for like 8-9 years. I don't know. It's like he knows. Like, I don't have to say. And sometimes it's exhausting to me because the previous person that I was seeing, I would explain and talk, but that person wasn't getting it. So I sort of came to a point where I didn't feel like talking much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then this guy, for some reason, he just knows. Like, he'll look at my face and he knows, okay, no, this one's not fine. Or I don't have to say that much. Like, I used to send diagrams to the other one and say, this is what happens when you go through a migraine. This is the pre-phase. This is the phase of the migraine. This is the after. Your guys. And mm-hmm. I would be tired because mm-hmm. even after saying all of that, the person wasn't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But like current men, I just say, hey, I'm having a migraine attack. What? You know.
I also get really bad migraines. Like, I've gotten them since like I was in preschool. And like one day I was also like, I have a migraine, and then Abba comes, and like the only thing that helps me in my migraines are ice lollies, and then he brought me an entire box of ice lollies and was like, here you go, babe.
Aww.
So just chill me down.
You see, sometimes that's like really all you need, like just somebody. She's looking at him now and he just winked back.
I don't have my glasses. I don't know if he winked at me, but hey.
But yeah, no, communication is important, but you also need somebody that tries to learn and understand on their own.
Yeah.
Like when I got my most recent diagnosis, like when I told a few people in my life, they were immediately like, okay, cool, I'm looking this up and I'll get back to you. Like, mm-hmm. it's not that I have to now school you on how to be the person that I need you to be. You actively also want to know how you can be better and, mm-hmm. you know, make me feel okay.
I actually wanted to say this while Daka was here. Sorry, guys. Daka just quickly stepped out. Oh, and now he's back.
Sorry.
Yay.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, I think from Nicole's first answer, you know, just want to say, like, I think you're also lucky. I feel like it really just depends on the person that we have and the people that are around you.
I'm very selective. I'm very selective with who I tell about what I have. Most people in my family don't know that I have anxiety or anxiety like issues, or about my OCD or my ADHD. It's like only my mom and my dad and some of my friends. Mm-hmm. And now,
anyone who's gonna listen to this,
I'm not showing. Yeah. But it's like, so I'm very like, you need to know you're able to trust like that, because some people are really just cunts who are not going to, like, you can tell them 100 times and they still won't see the importance of just learning what a fucking migraine is.
And, imagine, you know, every single time. And it came to the point where when I was already not feeling okay, I'll just make sure that I don't come into contact with them, because number one, they're not making the effort to understand or be around me in such a way that is like okay for me to, you know. So it was just like, are you? And that's when I was like, you know what, actually you have to go. Like, This is not going to work. Yeah, this is not working.
Because... And it's not supposed to be work. Yes. No relationship is supposed to be work, bro. In XL, I always say, we're too young. We can't, you can't at this stage be fighting with someone because they don't want to listen to you having a migraine.
Yeah.
You're not in a marriage. You're that person.
Guys, you know, one thing I love about the woman that I respect and admire in my life is that they were like, marriage doesn't matter. Bye. You got to go. You bad vibes. So for me, even... Okay, I know. Why are you looking at me like
no,
that?
No, I'm just listening to you.
No,
okay,
but,
guys, okay. Me and Doug and I feel like I'm very hopeless romantic. So I just hear like, yo, blasphemy. But what I wanted to say, guys, first of all, Nicole, you're lucky and blessed enough to have someone that is actually open-minded.
Yeah.
And that is not like... Because we can't really also blame these people as well at the end of the day. Because, you know, I always take things into consideration before I blame a person. Because look at this ignorant asshole. I'm like... What was your upbringing like?
Yeah, I also...
Where did you go to school?
It's always back to the childhood.
Yeah, and like...
And when you started learning so much about it, was it not only when you experienced the anxiety yourself?
Yeah,
exactly.
Because then you can get someone's like, fuck, I'm going through a migraine. It's like, no, but that's your problem. Or like, no, Baba, please, can you just turn down the music? The Gaza is too much. No, but I'm having a good time. That's your fucking problem. He could have chosen to do that, but he was like, okay, let me back the fuck down and actually see like what's wrong. Even after he did his research, he could have said... Yeah, but it's kind of your problem.
Yeah.
But again, it's
I say something?
That
and that's why it really says a lot about compatibility, because currently I'll be like, oh, hey, I have a new disease now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction was, okay, because now I go to state for my mental health and then everything else is private.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, so what's happening now? Then I'm like, okay, cool. So the medical aid is dealing with the surgery. It's how and how much it costs. So I'm going to be paying for this cash, the meds for this specific thing. And he was like, okay, cool. Let's go houses. So like now we go houses on the meds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, are you going for a follow-up today? Do you need the car? Or let me drop you, come get you. Or it's
so
closer.
It just works.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And it's so like there's peace that comes with it. Like, it's like, it's just so, when something, when
you're someone
compatible,
is actually willing to just,
it flows.
Yeah.
It flows.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And you're very right when you said, we're too young to be struggling. Like, imagine now you're forcing.
You've been in a relationship for now 3 years. Now you're fighting tooth and nail to make the
person understands. You need to turn down Gaza.
I just think you owe a marriage a little more work than to just dip.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, when you're dating some, it's not
like
worth
there's
it.
Certain things
and especially
you can compromise
like me,
on.
In my experience, I have seen how beautiful a beautiful relationship can be, and I've seen how beautiful it can be when someone treats you like proper with like the necessary respect, and when someone like loves you right and softly, and when someone like knows how to
chokes you a little bit.
Sorry,
but yes, and then also on the other comment you guys made about being jealous and whatever, we also need to understand that there's a difference between being jealous and being envious. When you're jealous, you are basically saying, I'm scared that person will take what I have. Which
is that
what
jealous?
You guys, yeah, that's what you guys were describing. When you're envious, you're basically saying, I kind of want what you have.
Let me explain in my specific situation, like what I feel like once I, like Abba has two like best friends, two girl best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like a really, like it's all good. Like there's no, nothing. But there was one day where, I can't remember what it was, but he was with... like one of them and something, I don't know. And I was like, I'm kind of feeling a little bit jealous right now.
That's
and it's
right
like,
time to
use. I have no J.
Yeah.
Most people I consider them my friends
also,
as well. And like,
yeah.
There's no like
no
underlying
beef,
vibes or anything. And I think I'd like to think from their side as well. And it's just like in that moment, I was just like, I can't remember what was happening or he said something. I can't remember what it was. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't like,
yeah,
I'm feeling like this now.
Yeah.
And then it was like, just aware. Okay, cool. And then like we spoke about it and then we went through it and then it's like, it's over. And then you kind of like,
yeah, and that's correct.
Oh,
you
okay.
can, you,
yeah.
you felt
and you're allowed
way.
To feel certain things. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it could be something small, like maybe in a picture, I see him holding her a certain way and I'm like, I'm a little jealous of that. I don't know why, but like, I'm a little jealous of that. Like, you're allowed to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But are you now going to be like, listen, you're never going to think
of listen, you need to cut her up, block her now.
Like, I don't care. just chill, daddy, chill.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and then what was Naka's question again?
How would you now communicate these things with your partner?
Current person, I feel like, okay, guys, I just want to put it out there. I feel like, all is well now, mental wise, but current person is, I'm just again saying this because I'm kind of glad that he's the person that he is, because number one, he's open-minded. He's well-read. So it's a thing of like, he doesn't come into soup and like be like,
I'm sorry, you have incredibly beautiful eyes.
Guys, I just still have beautiful eyes. It's a light, I'm glowing. About my eyes.
Nice skin.
Guys, stop it.
Okay, sorry.
About my eyes. Wait, what was I saying? Yes.
He's okay, he's an amazing person. He's my best friend.
Yeah, it's her best friend. But like, I haven't had any... I feel like my mental health has been on lock, like on check ever since I went through that whole process. I am prone to anxiety attacks, but I have like this thing where I'm like, okay, this is happening. I need to now, you know, some people count until 10. Mm. Other people just stop for a while and just, cause when I get anxious, I bite my nails or I start the shakes. Oh. Yeah. It's just a thing. That's how I portray that. Okay. I noticed actually when you were like talking, you're like shaking. I was like, I can't wait. So what he does.
I do that in bed though.
Yeah.
Like, it helps me to lull.
Oh, you mean that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the,
also does that. Immediately when you get to a bed, your legs start moving.
Yeah.
You're like a little dog.
Yeah. Cause you're just like.
So apparently psychologically, the reason why I do that is because my mom didn't breastfeed me long enough.
Oh,
really? Or too long enough. Yeah, because babies suck their thumbs, or like sometimes they don't even like need the booby to feed. It's just to soothe. Because I'm like, I'm distressed, yeah, I'm stressed.
Also, like the importance of breastfeeding
And the pacifier. Like
not the importance, but the value of breastfeeding is incredible.
Really, I never thought about fixated. It like that. Because I was like, oh, we can manufacture all the nutrients. Just give them
I think it can influence even like to a point your like how...
Your development,
your development, like you'll learn better. You'll like you also feel. I think they also come.
It's just a connection because
good, but like it's crazy a baby, important. Like you should read up on that actually.
A baby experiences everything through their mouth. That's why when they pick up stuff, something new, everything they put is everything just, in their mouth. That's how they're okay. This is sharp. This is salty. This is cool. This is whatever.
They put it like as soon as they can grab those little hands. Just, it's like
even if they're just so like when it's you become fixated. Orally fixated if your mom like breastfeeds you for too long or too little, because that's now for in my case I was breastfed
too little
and then now because when a baby is distressed or just hurt, sometimes we just need mommy's bosom just to calm us the fuck down. And now my mom didn't believe in pacifiers because you know you can't have
my mom that's also why believes people it fucks up your
develop like oral fixations like drinking alcohol, smoking, biting the fingers. And that's why I always ask guys like, how long will you breastfeed? Because then guys that are all about the titties it's a psychosexual psychological theory, but yeah, apparently that's why you have the boobies somehow. Guy No, it's just I didn't get it from my Zali, so so that's why I do that. There was a time I had an anxiety attack recently, I think that was last year. And it was bad. I was hyperventilating. I was basically... I think I told you about it.
Yes.
I was just all over the place. I was just like... and I couldn't speak. And I was just like... and then this dude... Imagine we were not on good terms at the time. Because we got into a little fight. But then I had an anxiety attack. This young man's comes and he basically didn't try and be Superman. He tried to be Batman. I always said this thing. I was like, look, sometimes as a lady, you don't really need the guy to fix everything. And that's what I call the Superman. I just need you to listen and just try and figure shit out and be the detective, which is now Batman. So, like, I don't need you to be my Superman. I need you to be my Batman. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah,
he was like,
that is so cute.
Yo, the fuck is going on? I'm here. Dude, just calm the fuck down. Just look at me. I want to go into details, but he helped. He was willing to... he didn't shun me for it. Even after everything happened, it wasn't like, yeah, I can't deal with this. That wasn't cute. You know, there was snot running down your nose.
And guys, one of the things with the stress disorder is that you cry a lot. And now, so the thing is, if we go out thriving and there's animals, then I'm crying. Last weekend, I found a pond and fish, and then apparently I was like, leave me with the fish. And the people are like, so where's Alice? No, she's there. I don't know. What about the fish?
I'm sorry, bro. What?
I'm serious. Okay, wait. So we're going to take a break because we're hitting the hour mark.
Shit.
Yes. We're going to take a break.
Ducky's words.
We have to. Okay, I'll cut this part out. We have to do a black business shout out and a FMK, then we're done.
We should probably do a part two of this some other day because that's
I guess there's a lot of things that are intertwined with.
Break time.
Is it break time? You see now it's even like, I wonder who it was that was calling with a private number. Okay, guys, we're back. So we're just gonna do a quick fuck, marry, kill and shout out our black business and then we're done.
Boom, 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 boom.
Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
Boom, boom, boom. I feel obligated to now also make sound
effects. I can't make sound effects. This is the thing. Okay.
Hey, have you ever found black people in a group or youngins? The youth,
Do you know when the beat drops? Yeah. Like,
All of them can dance.
Yeah,
all of them.
All of them.
All,
all the young ones can dance.
Otherwise, we don't know shit, bro.
We're being fat, marry, kill.
Yes, fat, marry, kill. First one is coping mechanisms: exercise, alcohol, or food. Okay, let me go first, in case there's like a confusion about how it works.
What is fuck, marry, kill?
Yeah, okay. FMK. My handwriting.
sorry.
Okay, cool. exercise, alcohol, food.
Mm-hmm. You're marry food, you. I just know it.
How is this a hard decision, Alice?
You're marry food. But she likes alcohol.
How is this a hard decision?
Okay, don't judge me, guys. I'm killing exercise.
Killing yourself. Killing exercise.
Yeah.
Exercise has to go. Like, because some days you just don't want to do it.
Hi, guys.
And I'm fucking alcohol and marrying food.
That was a hard thing. The last part was hard.
So hard.
Okay, let me do it. Marry exercise, obviously. Kill alcohol. Marry. What is the last? Fuck food.
Yeah,
I'm not really a foodie, but I like it more than I like
feel
alcohol.
Like you only eat because it's necessary.
Yeah, I eat.
What?
Yeah, it's for me,
guys,
nutrition.
So I was like an emotional eater. So I'm a marry food. I'm going to kill alcohol and I'm going to like fuck exercise.
So yeah. Am I the only
one
that's
killing alcohol?
Why? Let's change.
I'm also killing, and I'm killing alcohol, and then I am. I'm marrying.
Marrying the food, is it?
Marrying the food, man.
She's marrying exercise.
Yeah. I'm gonna marry exercise and then fuck food.
What?
She's lying.
Guys, wait. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
So I'm the only one who killed exercise.
Yeah. I'm a fitness.
That's why you're going for therapy.
Wow. Okay. Forms of escapism. Okay, the last of fuck, marry, kill. So we have TV or reading, like going into another world with your series, anime that includes that. We have groove.
The thrive.
And then we have social interactions.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm marrying food.
No, this is another.
No, I'm just
thing.
Saying. I'm changing my answer. I'm marrying food.
Oh.
He called it. Yay! You see?
Okay.
So this one, I think I'm marrying the reading and the TV because that involves books. Number one, if you see my book, my room is full of books.
Yeah.
And my anime, wow. Yeah. So I'm marrying that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm killing groove.
Okay.
And I'm fucking shook. Social interactions.
Okay. You this is a bit hard for me because most of my social interactions come from groove. So it's a bit hard. And you know, guys, groove is tasty, cow.
What's nice about it?
The only nice thing about groove, for some of us, I can't dance, so that's not nice for me. Number one, people are dancing, I can't dance. What's
groove,
happening?
Especially when you are single.
Only when you're single, it's about getting hit.
But it's just, you know, you just find yourself, you see people, the women are having a good time, the boys are happy there. You see, you are not broke, you are just like, if I die here, I'm at peace. Because everything is just, the problems are gone. Oh, it's so happy. You know, you even find yourself. Isn't that not up your mind?
So, both of your names start with an N.
Anyway.
Ducky. I think Ducky is marrying groove.
Yeah, I think I'll marry groove. I'll kill social interaction. Hey, I don't like people, guys. I don't like people. I you know, like, I don't like people.
Yeah,
you
know,
the problem is, I happen to be.
But how do you groove?
I happen. That's why I'm saying it's a paradox.
No, because he's drunk. He's just can't really deal with
it. And you see, the thing is,
that's why he doesn't like when people in the Thrive come and talk to him about exercise or try to have
a deep. And like, let's just enjoy it. The girls are having a good. You know the problem is, like, social interaction, I like people, but I think I like them from a distance. You know, it becomes a problem when the people are like, oh, but I just want to talk to me. Just leave me alone. Don't talk to me about your dog and your. No,
you are really killing social media.
You're killing.
Then, there are a couple. I really like documentaries. I hardly have free time, but
so
I
you
can
fuck TV and
And Grove. Hey, Grove is smart. Hey, my marriage. Whoever is out there trying to get married to me, just know that the first day we will get married, white wedding, what. The second day, booty shorts and shirts and hookah pipes and a crackhead celebration. I don't care if I'm 40 years old.
Let it be known. It's been said here first on Alice's podcast. What am I doing? Yes, I would totally marry TV and stuff, because guys, like, the amount of movies that I
she's always binging movies
now. Yeah, and I'm always like, I'm like that one person, you can't tell me, like,
I get so
do you like Black Panther, and then you're like, yeah, I'm like, okay, how did you find the plot? And like, what? And I need to discuss the themes and the plot and the comics and the whatever soundtrack. And the book and the soundtrack, the composer, and if it's like, bruh, I just watched it, bruh, I'll just like move. So yeah, I'll totally marry TV series, anime. I also like anime, even though I watch it in dub, which is apparently a sin. I would fuck groove, because I'd like to groove, but no wait, am I fucking groove? No, never. I'll kill groove.
I saw you with Megan Thee Stallion knees there.
The knees were back last night. So okay, with me, my relationship with grooving, I can groove, but like once every 6 months. Like that extreme groove where Jasmine comes home crawling.
So you're killing the groove.
So I'll kill the groove, and then I'll fuck social interaction, because I like hanging, but like not to an extreme every time. Like, call me over for Poiki or Jumping Castle.
Oh,
yeah. Totally. But you guys didn't put my coping mechanisms there, Elisa.
Why? Which one is yours?
You know exactly which coping mechanism. It's six. Oh my gosh, Nage.
Jasmine talks a lot, and she'll make it seem like sex is the thing.
It's the thing!
Jasmine will go 2 years dry. Like, so I just feel like it's a lie.
Your mom listens to this.
Oh, man. Hi, auntie.
Ivo.
I've been celibate for 7 years now, so I understand. Yeah, Jasmine, I can relate.
Yeah, and I'm a virgin, so that's why we couldn't put that on the.
I'm also.
I am a whore. But only for my boyfriend.
Okay, so Nicole, FMK, TV shows, books. Groove or social interactions?
I'm killing groove.
Oh.
I really love social interaction. I need to speak to at least one friend every single day. And I'm like, when I'm feeling anxious, and I can't bunkle to, and I'm like there with the security guard, hi, seeing someone on the shelves, just even a nod, whatever, then I'm happy.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm, no, but also reading. Social, no, it's... I would marry social interaction and fuck reading.
Yeah.
I read every day as well, but like, it's still, I feel
but
like
you would fuck it. Raw. Oh,
yes. Jasmine.
Then choke it.
My mom knows you.
Oh.
We're family.
Like, choke with a piece of chicken, because the person is like,
No, okay. I was imagining how the chicken is supposed to go around your neck.
Oh,
oh my God.
I was like, what? You know, I realized,
it
can go inside the throat.
Oh my God. I'm done. Let's do the Black Business shout out so we can
Shout out to Ontoko Eggs. Hit up my girl. Wait, let me give you guys the number.
Omai.
Hold up. Omai. Organic. Organic, not that processed stuff.
How do you process an egg?
The inject.
The what you feed,
artificials and what. No, this is organic. You get, if you want to buy. If you want a body like Ndake, get all your protein from Ontoko Eggs. Wait, let me plug you guys with a number so you can hit up my girl, Jane.
And she's so nice.
Oh, yeah, she's an amazing person.
She's Kwaruthi also. That's why.
No, she's amazing.
I don't know.
She's an amazing person. Yo, what a vibe, man. It's 0811-489-248. If I'm not mistaken, sorry if I'm off, but if I'm not mistaken, a tray of 30 eggs costs $60. That's a bargain. Bargain. Fat ass organic eggs.
I'll tag her when I post the show. I'll tag her.
Yeah.
On Toko eggs.
Yeah.
Why are they called on Toko eggs?
Because they give you on Toko.
What? Yo,
I don't know. But all I know
because
is
they
I,
give you on top.
It's the best. The pricing is the best on the market. The oh my guys, the quality. Yo,
she also does chicken, no?
Yeah, chickens as well. Ducks, chicks, everything, anything you need.
And when she greets you, she always says, "How are you, my girl?
My girl." You see, that's hi, Jane. Amazing. Hi, Jane. We love you. I love you.
We love your eggs.
You're amazing. And I love the eggs.
And
more.
The chickens also.
Yeah.